I told her I thought she had TMS tendinalgia and the pain left in a few days. TMS can manifest itself in a variety of locations, and it tends to move around, particularly if something is being done to combat the disorder. Patients often report pain in a new location as the old one gets better. It is as though the brain is unwilling to give up this convenient strategy for diverting attention away from the realm of the emotions. It is therefore particularly important for the patient to know where all the possible locations of pain are. My patients are routinely instructed to call me when they develop new pain so that we can determine whether it is part of TMS. In summary, TMS involves three types of tissue: muscle, nerve, and tendon-ligaments. Let us now look at how TMS manifests itself. When first seen, most people are under the impression that they have been suffering from the long-term results of an injury, a degenerative process, a congenital abnormality, or some deficiency in the strength or flexibility of their muscles. The idea of injury is probably the most pervasive. This often ties in with the circumstances under which the pain begins. According to a survey we did a number of years ago, 40% of a typical group of patients reported that the pain began in association with some kind of physical incident. For some, it was a minor automobile accident, usually the hit from behind type. Falls on the ice or down steps were common. Lifting a heavy object or straining was another. And, of course, running, tennis, golf, or basketball were often blamed. The pain began anywhere from minutes to hours or days after the incident, raising some important questions about the nature of the pain. Some of the reported incidents were trivial, such as bending over to pick up a toothbrush or twisting to reach into a cupboard. But the ensuing pain might be just as excruciating as that experienced by someone who was trying to lift a refrigerator. I recall a young man who was sitting at his office desk writing and experienced a spasm in his low back so severe and persistent that he had to be taken home by ambulance. The next 48 hours were agonizing. He couldn't move without setting off a new wave of spasm. How can such excruciating pain be set off by this great variety of physical incidents? In view of the different degrees of severity of the physical incidents and the great variation in when the pain begins after the incident, the conclusion is that the physical happening was not the cause of the pain, but was merely a trigger. Many patients apparently don't need a trigger. The pain just comes on gradually, or they awaken with it in the morning. In the survey mentioned above, 60% fell into that category. The idea that physical incidents are triggers is reinforced by the fact that there is no way to distinguish between those pains that start gradually and those that begin dramatically in terms of subsequent severity or longevity of the attack. All of this makes perfect sense when one considers the nature of TMS. Despite the perception of injury, patients are not injured. The physical occurrence has given the brain the opportunity to begin an attack of TMS. There is another reason to doubt the role of injury in these attacks of back pain. One of the most powerful systems that has evolved over the millions of years of life on this planet is the biologic capacity for healing, for restoration. Our body parts tend to heal very quickly when they are injured. Even the largest bone in the body, the femur, only takes 6 weeks to heal. And during that process, there is pain for only a very short time. It is illogical to think that an injury that occurred 2 months ago might still be causing pain, not to mention 1 or 2 or 10 years ago. And yet people have been so thoroughly indoctrinated with the idea of persistent injury that they accept it without question. Invariably, those patients who have a gradual onset of pain will attribute it to a physical incident that may have occurred years before, like an automobile or skiing accident. Because in their minds, back pain is physical. That is, structural. it must be due to an injury. As far as they are concerned, there has to be a physical cause. This idea is one of the great impediments in the way of recovery. It must be resolved in the patient's mind or the pain will persist. Gradually, patients need to begin to think psychologically. And, indeed, once the diagnosis of TMS is made, it is common for patients to begin to recall all of the psychological things that were going on in their lives when acute attacks occurred, like starting a new job, getting married, an illness in the family, a financial crisis, and so on. Or, the patient will acknowledge that he or she has always been a worrier, overly conscientious and responsible, compulsive and perfectionistic, and or has a strong need to be liked and to be helpful to others. This is the beginning of wisdom, the start of the process of putting things into proper perspective. In this case, it is the recognition that there are physical disorders that play a psychological role in human biology. Not to be aware of that fact is to doom oneself to perpetual pain and disability. Perhaps the most common and undoubtedly the most frightening manifestation of TMS is the acute attack. It usually comes out of the blue, and the pain is often excruciating. The most common location for these attacks is the low back, involving the lumbar muscles at the small of the back, the buttock muscles, or both. Any movement brings on a new wave of terrible pain, so the condition is very upsetting, to say the least. It is clear that the involved muscles have gone into spasm. Spasm is a state of extreme contraction of the muscles, an abnormal condition that may be horrifically painful. Most everyone has experienced a leg or foot cramp, a Charlie horse, which is the same thing, except that the cramp will stop as soon as the involved muscle is stretched. The spasm of an attack of TMS does not let up. When it begins to ease, any movement can start it up again. I believe that oxygen deprivation is responsible for the spasm as well as other kinds of pain characteristic of TMS. It is likely that leg cramps also result from oxygen deprivation. This is why they usually occur in bed when the circulation of blood is slowed down and there is liable to be a temporary minor state of reduced oxygenation in the leg muscles. Blood flow can be quickly restored to normal with muscle contraction. With TMS, however, reduced